the transforming power of the restored gospel. On my mission, I traveled all around England. For one period, I was in Liverpool for several days. We held street meetings every day down at the docks where the ships come in and out. There is a sidewalk near the docks and a little park out front, and people would walk on the sidewalk and sometimes sit on benches that were there for rest and relaxation. We found this to be a perfect place to hold street meetings. We would stand on a little folding chair and give our messages to the people as they walked by. Most of them wouldn't stop. They would look a little, perhaps pause or slow down a little, but they usually wouldn't stop. Occasionally, people would stop for a few minutes and then move on. One day, we noticed an old man sitting on a bench, but he seemed pretty much out of earshot, so we didn't pay too much attention to him, but he kept sitting there day after day. We somewhat dismissed him as being interested because he seemed so old, and he didn't seem to take any initiative in coming to us. But after a few days, I went up to him and asked if he would like to hear more about what we were teaching. He showed a great deal of interest and said he would. So we went to his home and taught him the discussions in rapid-fire order. He could not consume them fast enough. He was absolutely filled with the Spirit and with a desire to learn. My guess is that he was in his 80s, and he was failing fast, but he had a keen mind. To the consternation of his family, this man was baptized within just a few days of having the discussions. And then in entirely new ways, he spent all of his waking hours studying the gospel, reading as much as he possibly could, particularly the great works written by the brethren, as well as a constant study of the scriptures in relation to those works. I continued doing my work, and then I found out that he was going to have a meeting with his family to say goodbye to them prior to his passing. And he asked if I would return to be with him at that meeting. I returned to Liverpool and stood in the room where he had gathered all of his loved ones, his children and their spouses, and a few grandchildren. It was a small room, and the place was totally filled with people. He lay on his bed and told them the story of his conversion and of his strong belief in the gospel as restored through the prophet Joseph. Then he became very sober and precise in his language and said, "I know that you think I have lost my sanity and gone on in this newfound American religion. But I want to testify to you that it is the true gospel of Jesus Christ that has been restored to the earth. And you know how much I love you and care for you, and I am only interested in your welfare and happiness. You also know me to be an honest person. I want each of you to commit that you will allow the elders to teach you the story of the restoration, so that you will have an opportunity to understand what I have come to understand, what God has done for the salvation of his children in our day." He looked at every person in the room and slowly received a positive nod from everyone that they would do this. Then he expressed his love and his testimony one more time and then said to them, "I am now going to move on into the spirit world, and I want you to know just how much I love you. Even though I am sad to say goodbye, I am happy to go to my God." Then he laid his head back on his bed, closed his eyes, and sang all of the verses to the hymn, "Sweet is the Work," at the conclusion of which he passed on. At the time, I didn't interpret that experience through the six events, but since then I have thought back on it and see it as a perfect illustration of them. He gained an understanding of God and himself, of Christ and his plan. He covenanted it. He received the Holy Ghost and became a member of the church. And then his consciousness started to move out toward all of his loved ones for their eternal welfare. He was only in the church immortality for a few months, but undoubtedly he is doing work on the other side, including work for his loved ones in the past and for generations to come, all of which is made possible through the atonement of Jesus Christ.